So today we're going to talk about how to get a spot on a group, fam, or press trip. In the last couple of weeks, we've looked at the fundamentals of what are the different types of trips, and we've talked about how to set up your own individual trips. And now we're going to look at what is out there in terms of things that have already been set up by CVBs, which are tourism boards, and PR firms to represent their clients, and how you get on those. So I think, now I've talked to a lot of different people via these webinars, as well as just people that I talk to on the road while we're doing classes, that there's a perception that most trips are actually these group trips that we're going to talk about, but a lot of people are out there setting up their own individual trips. If you're new to this, however, if you're new to travel writing or you're new to asking for free travel, going on a group trip can be a really good place to start, and not just because it's quote unquote easier, and it's not always, and we're going to look at that in a little bit, but because you will get to see how other established writers go about taking these trips and learn that way. So if you're new to sponsored travel, this can be a really great place to start. So specifically what we're going to talk about today is a couple different things. We're going to look at the main, like the key to unlocking the lock on these trips. And it's very, very, very simple, and I think a lot of people forget it. And we touched on this a little bit last week, but it's even more important on group trips that you're applying for than when you're trying to set up an individual trip. And then we're going to talk about where these trips live, so to say, is and where can you find them online? How can you find out they're happening? How can you get in the loop? And in some cases, that is setting yourself up to have them come to you. The majority of trips, just like the majority of jobs or writing gigs, are never listed online anywhere. They are filled by people reaching out to individuals to get them on that trip. And a lot of PR firms, especially smaller boutique shops, differentiate themselves for their clients by saying that they do everything by hand. And what that means for a PR person is that they are going out there and checking out writers' sites and checking out writers' clips and inviting on an individual one-to-one basis writers onto trips based on the research they've already done on that person. And so we're going to talk about how to make sure that you get found for those. And then we're going to look at, I have pulled up three different types of trips. I've pulled up trips that I've been invited on, so like the ones that come in through email. Ones I've pulled up trips that come from conference listings that you can go on just because you're going to the conference. And like I said, if you're new, this is one of the best ones to get onto. And then I've pulled up trips that are advertised on sites that as a writer you can get on and look up these sites. So I've pulled three different trips for each of these types, and I'm gonna sort of go through them quickly when we get to that part of the call, but then I'd love to hear from folks who are here, which ones they'd like to look at more in depth. So, as we get to the actual listings that I've taken verbatim of these different trips, let me know which ones you're most interested in, and those are the ones we'll look at. And I myself have been on, I actually typically travel on my own, but over the course of writing, especially for magazines that I write for, when I need to go and do a lot of research in a specific area, I've been on quite a few trips myself over the years, but I've never had a request to go on a trip be turned down. It's more often that I'm going to turn them down. And so we're going to look at how you become one of those people who always gets the tourism board or the PR firm to say yes to your requests. Okay, so before we get this train moving, why do people get no's, or why do people think it's hard to get on a press trip in the first place? One of the things that I hear from people a lot, and I see some people are saying this, is that they don't have published clips yet. And this, I think, is kind of out there as a, well, how can you, like, who would even care about you to go on a trip if you've never written anywhere before? So the really simple answer to that is to say, oh, well, you need to go get some clips. But it's more complicated than that, because the thing is that if you are a writer who has been published in a different vertical, for instance, we had some folks at our workshops over the weekend who are, science writers or do different types of writing. If you have a publication track record, that still ticks that box for a PR person, even if you don't have a publication track record in travel specifically. But the other thing is, if you line up an assignment that lines up with that press trip, it doesn't matter if you've been published before, because you're going to publish something from this trip. So other folks on here, I'm seeing some people say that they have blogs and that their blog isn't large enough. I started going on press trips when I was primarily a blogger, actually, and had my own blog that was small. But then what I did was I had several other blogs that I wrote for, And then I also pitched magazines. And so next week, we're going to look specifically how to put together a really robust portfolio of places that you're going to pitch for one specific trip. But the thing is, if you have a blog that's new or that's small, don't be discouraged because you can aggregate. You can aggregate that you're going to write for several places and that adds up to a larger audience. Some other things that folks are saying, the market is flooded and super competitive. Thanks for that, Valerie. I really love this. I think often folks don't apply, whether it's for a trip or pitching a magazine or to a writing gig, because they think there's so many people out there who are better than them. And we've got a whole chapter on this in the Six-Figure Travel Writing Roadmap. But the really stark reality right now, and I've seen this myself personally recently, trying to find writers for the database, the really stark reality is the number of people who are great, who get their work done, who get it done well, who don't spend too much time asking questions, who just do it, is very, 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 very small. And even if you don't feel like you are that kind of person yet, you can become that type of person. Like when I started, I get this question a lot. People say, oh, well, I don't have a journalism background. I don't have a degree in journalism. My degree is in literature and not English literature. My degree is in Italian language literature. Like I didn't even go to school in English. My entire university career was like Italian, German, and Spanish. Like I barely even wrote in English. So just because you think that you don't have that background doesn't mean you can't position yourself as the type of person who gets these things. All right, so let's look at what exactly people are looking for to put you on a press trip. So if you read a description of a press trip, and we're going to look at some of these later if you've never seen them before, if you read a description of a press trip and say, wow, that is a trip that is so perfect for me, for my audience, for the places that I write for, whatever, it's perfect. I have to go on this trip or I have to apply for this trip. It's clear, right? You feel that moment of cling, that moment of zoop, where it's like a perfect glove fit. And the thing is that PR people also feel that. So if you write to the person who's organizing the trip and you check all the boxes, it's very easy for them to say yes to you. So what we want to do is our goal is to make the people setting up these trips feel the same thing we feel when we read that perfect trip. We want to make them read your application, your email, and say, oh yes, of course this person should be on the trip. I'm just going to put them on the list right away. And the reason for this is that if you get in the category of maybe, it can get very difficult to get out. And we've looked before at this quote that I just love from this fellow, Peter Fish, who is an editor at large, or was at the time when he said this, an editor at large at Sunset. And somebody asked him at a conference, how long does it take you to respond to pitches? And they didn't ask him specifically, they asked a whole panel of editors. And everyone kind of looked sideways at each other, like, I don't know what to say. And he very valiantly sort of took the microphone and said, if it's a yes, 15 minutes. If it's a no, half an hour. And if it's a maybe, indefinitely. And this same thing applies to press trips. If you are absolutely a fit, they know. If you are absolutely not a fit, they know. And if they're not quite sure, then it's going to absolutely take forever because they're going to see if there's somebody better who comes along, all right? So our job when we want to get on these trips is to show them that there is not somebody better. Because what happens is when they're looking at filling these trips, often trips are posted some number of weeks that you can count on one or two hands before the trip goes out. So if you get in that maybe category, by the time they've decided exactly who the clear yeses are and are deciding on the maybes and get around to asking you, it might be too late for you to go on that trip. So we've got, Lenora has a follow-up over here. What about setting up individual trips after being on a group trip? So many destinations have encouraged me to return anytime, but I've been afraid to reach out. We're going to talk later about negotiating for extra days on your trip. But in terms of setting up individual trips after a group trip, I would go back to the webinar that we did last week on setting up individual trips, because I think that's pretty much comes under the bailiwick of setting up an individual trip from scratch, unless you're just going to tackle on extra days, which we're going to talk about. Okay, so we don't want to be in the maybe category, right? We've decided that. So how do we make sure we're in the clear yes area. All right. There's only one thing you need to do, and that is to make sure that you are exactly what they're looking for, right? Oh yeah, well, how do I do that, right? We're going to talk specifically about how, but this is literally it. When I, like Lisa was saying, when I was new and I had a blog and I hadn't written very many places, I started going on press trips and I couldn't believe how easy it was. And it was because I figured out what they needed, what they wanted, what kind of coverage they were looking for, what would make them say yes. And I just did exactly that. So it can sound like, oh, well, that seems simple, but how do you actually do it? But the fact of the matter is, like, that's the only thing you need to know. There's no golden key. Like, if you write for the New York Times, you're going to get accepted on every press trip. Obviously, if you write for the New York Times, you shouldn't be going on press trips. But there's no golden name you can drop. There's no specific strategy that works every time except for this. So we're going to look at some ways to do that. But here's the question. What can you do if you aren't what they're looking for? Now, I find this actually to be the position that more people get into. So you look at the trip, and again, we're going to look at some trips in a little bit, but you look at a trip and they say, I'm going to reference the trip that I posted or that I sent out in the newsletter recently, that a gentleman reached out to me for a trip that looked fascinating. It was like nearly a week long or more, which is practically unheard of these days. It was a really great trip that was practically all of Texas and some really interesting high-level things, a great diversity of topic areas. And I couldn't go. So I sent it out to our email list to see if there were some other people that were interested. But before I did that, I said to the gentleman, can you tell me exactly what you're looking for so I can send that to our list so they know? And he said a couple different things, but he said like design writers or maybe people with a meetings background. He didn't say it needed to be a specific publication or it needed to be a confirmed assignment, but he said some topic areas. So what happens if your background isn't exactly what they're looking for? You make a pitching plan that fits that trip. And you don't talk about your background. You just talk about the placements that you are going to work on securing that are related to this one trip. So the golden rule of thumb here, and I'm going to give you a checklist of what should and shouldn't be in your pitch letter, but the golden rule of thumb here is that if it doesn't matter for this trip, it should not be in your pitch letter, okay? So if you, I'm going to take an example of somebody who's on our email list, but she's not on our call. If your writing is primarily about local music around the US and traveling in an RV, but you want to go on a trip that is in yurts in Canada, what do you do? Do you say, hey, I am a writer and I live here and I write about this, this, and this, and here's some clips about that that you can find, and I saw that you have this trip and I'm interested in going on it. No, you don't tell them all this stuff that you do that isn't related to the pitch of the trip. You say, I saw that you have this trip covering this, this, and this. I would love to cover that trip in X, Y, and Z places. I am a published writer. If you'd like to see some clips, let me know when I can send them. But we only tell them the things that they want to hear, that they need to hear, that are relevant to the trip at hand. Okay? So what if in that trip, the initial email or the initial posting or what have you, they didn't say who they're looking for? So remember I said with the person who sent this really long, lovely itinerary to me the other day, he sent it to me, but I wanted to send it to some other people. So essentially I had to get from him what he was looking for. And that little paragraph that says, we want design writers, we want people who are going to get a national magazine placement, we want people with a social media following over 10,000, that paragraph is not always there. And you're going to see that when we look later at some of these individual postings. So how do you find out, or how do you find out more than what's there about what is going to be your secret key to help you get on that trip? Okay, so these are some of my little spy work things that I do. So first of all, if it is sent out by a tourism board, a PR firm, even by a hotel, you can go to their page on their website where they list coverage and see what kind of things they highlight. And then you can do two things. You can say, okay, it seems they're most proud of this type of clip. They're most proud of clips in magazines within the region that are major magazines. They're most proud of clips that are long. They are most proud of clips that are in national magazines. So that's the one piece of research you do. And then the other thing you do is you see what's missing. So if that's the stuff they're mostly interested in, is there a hole there? Like, have they been covered in, let's say it's something Midwestern, okay? Have they been covered in Midwest Living and Minnesota Monthly, but not Milwaukee Magazine or not Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine? And you look for an area that is missing, okay? And you can also do this in a much wider area, right? So say they're looking for national clips. Say they've got a lot of US national clips. Then you say, okay, but this region is often visited by folks from Asia or folks from the UK or folks from Ireland or folks from Australia. And I don't see that they have any mentions in major Australian, British, Asian print publications. That's the hole. All right. Now, the next thing you can do, and this is really great for anytime you're doing something with a tourism board, especially. But the next thing you can do is figure out what are the objectives that they have publicly committed to in terms of securing media coverage. So for instance, say you have been invited by a tourism board, also typically known as a CVB or Convention and Visitors Bureau. And that Convention and Visitors Bureau has a website. And on their website, if you dig through the About page, you're going to see who is the staff. You're going to see what are their, what's the mission for the entire tourism board or CVB. But then you're also going to find some reports or some annual objectives, because these type of organizations, because they're typically governmental or nonprofit, they need to publicly state for the people who are invested in them, whether it is, you know, the government that's providing money or if it's a nonprofit, they have donors and they also get funding from other areas. They need to declare what their objectives are. And typically in the annual report of that CVB or tourism board, they are going to say what their media objectives are and if they've met them and what type of coverage they've gotten in the past. And this is like pay dirt, because you can just, you just have it handed to you on a silver platter, exactly what they are looking for in terms of securing media coverage. And then you do the same subtraction trick that we did with the clips page, right? So if this is what they say they are looking for, what do you not see on their clips page? What is missing? What have they promised their investors, whoever that is, that they are going to deliver that they haven't yet? And so with a hotel or with other for-profit institutions, they don't necessarily need to be as transparent about this, but there's still some ways to check. And so again, depending on what type of, you know, hotel or attraction or whoever is sponsoring the trip, depending on what they are, they still probably have some type of annual report that goes out that you can find, but it might not be easily listed on their website. If it's a large, if it's one hotel in a large chain or something like that, you might be able to find it on the parent website. So you can look around for things like that. But this works really, really well when it's for the local tourism board. And the thing is that often these for-profit institutions are still working with the local tourism board, whether it's to set up the trip in a financial setting, like the tourism board is contributing some money, or they just work with them on a regular basis. So even if you've been invited by a hotel or you've been invited by a festival, you can still circle back to what the greater tourism board is looking at, okay? I am just back from the Food and Travel Association conference in Portland where I was speaking. And one of the other speakers was this woman who runs an event called Feast Portland. And she said that their media coverage, even though the trips are ostensibly for the Feast Portland event, is set up by the CVB, okay? So what if you can't find any of these things, okay? And you see a trip listed on a conference webpage or on a website that lists press trips. And again, we're going to get to those in a couple of minutes. What if you see a trip somewhere, but it's not clear who they are aiming for? You get the email of the contact person that you apply to for the trip, and you write them and you ask. And this is really great for a couple different reasons, because this asking not only allows you to find out what they're looking for, but you even get a smaller slice. You get what they're looking for that they haven't gotten an application for yet. So this can be something really useful to do anytime, okay? Because they're gonna tell you, oh, we're looking for this, this, and that. Oh, we'd really like to have somebody from blah. They're going to tell you exactly what they need to fill out that trip. Okay, if you have any questions, make sure you drop them over here on the side as I'm going. I feel like I'm talking without interacting too much because I've been talking in person a lot. So the order of operations for how these trips go is the following. And I've included some steps that aren't going to happen every time, but I just want to discuss them with you so that you know in case they come up for you. So when a press trip is announced, and that announcement can be via emails that are individually sent to people who've been compiled to invite to the list, that can be by posting it on a website where these press trips are posted, that can be a lot of different places. But when a trip is announced, that starts phase one. So this is the initial application period, okay? So for you as the writer, this is when you are going to put your name in the hat. So even if you are invited individually by email, you still typically need to fill out some information for them a lot of the time in order to go on that trip. So this is usually when you're putting together the application. Now, the next thing, like I mentioned, is if you are somehow in that maybe bucket, if they see you and you're not an automatic shoo-in, then you're going to get into this holding pattern, okay? And one of the best ways to get that spot, if you're in the maybe category, is to follow up with them regularly, like once a week. Because what happens is they would rather have somebody who is really interested on the trip than somebody who's not, even if that person has potentially better placements. Because PR people are all about relationships. They want to work with somebody who's going to be placing the trip multiple times. They want the best return on their investment, okay? So they want to work with you if you have a clear interest, okay? So if you write them and you don't hear anything back for a week, make sure you are following up and you're following up regularly and you're being helpful. You're asking if there's anything else that you can get them to help in the decision. You're asking, you know, if they would be interested in you pitching a story based on this aspect of the trip. But in your follow-ups, you're giving them something to work with. Now, the next type of follow-up that can come from their end is asking for more information on what you have mentioned in your application email. So these days, this often takes the form of them asking for circulation numbers on different outlets that you've mentioned. And this can be your own blog or even magazines you're writing for. I've noticed these days PR people have gotten, I don't know if it's lazy or what, but rather than themselves go to the publication, which very clearly has media kits online, they're going to the writers and saying, hey, can you tell us what is the circulation of this, this, and that place that we don't know about? So be prepared if you have pitched some names that they don't know, which is probably pretty common, especially if you're putting together a diverse portfolio of placements, to provide that information for them and trying to not say, I don't know, okay? Now, the next step, and sometimes this is going to come with the initial application, but very rarely, and you'll see that when we look at the press trip announcements in a minute. The next thing is that the itinerary is released, okay? And so sometimes this is going to happen before you've been confirmed on the trip, and sometimes it's going to happen after. I personally don't put in the time to apply for a trip if the itinerary isn't out, and I know some other people are also in this position because they've been burned by itineraries that get changed or just get crummy at the last minute. And so I really recommend, if possible, if you're not like super new, if you have a little leverage, like if you're somewhat established in the beginning, before negotiations or information even starts exchanging hands, to ask them for that itinerary. And they might tell you, we don't have it, we'll have it by blah, blah, blah. But I often find that you need to push them to get that itinerary in a reasonable amount of time before the trip. So the earliest you can start asking them for the itinerary, the better. Okay. Now, as soon as that itinerary comes out, and not before, you need to start pitching trip articles based on that itinerary. But the second thing is that once that itinerary comes out, this is also time for you to give feedback on it, okay? So if you are already confirmed on the trip, you can ask for changes. If you're not confirmed on the trip, you can say, oh, well, this looks interesting. The trip would be a better fit for me if it also included this, this, and that, or if we had more time here, or something like that. And again, that leverage of saying, I would be more likely to consider your trip if this, works better if you're more established, okay? If you're already confirmed on the trip, though, this is where you can say, it's going to be very hard for me to get my story if we only have this much time in this place, or if this piece, which is currently on the itinerary, doesn't make it into the final itinerary. So you want to look at these itineraries really closely and keep in mind that until the day of the trip, like literally the morning that you are going out on an activity, that itinerary is not set in stone. And this is really important if you need to have a firm assignment to get on the trip. Because in those cases, if you don't do the thing that you have been assigned to cover, you're going to get in a bad situation, both with your editor, which honestly is more important, and with the PR people, because then your story is not going to come out. And I want to go back to a question that somebody sent me in advance, about what to do if the sort of amount of press that you drum up after the trip does not correspond with what they were interested in. Okay. Now, the sort of rule of thumb in the world is that you going on the trip does not guarantee publication. It does not guarantee placement. And all good PR people should know this. All good PR people with their clients are also drumming in the idea that there is no such thing as guaranteed press. However, there are a lot of not good PR people or people who aren't PR people that are currently in the business of setting up press trips. So this is very, very important to understand that some people that are setting up these trips are going to be in the position where they are assuming, pushing, annoying you that a story needs to go out and needs to be published like the day that you are back from a press trip, if even when you are still on a press trip. Now, if you have a blog and you are in the position to be putting things up that soon, you still need to manage this expectation, because if you want to place articles about a trip in print and also put that information on your blog, you need to make sure that those things don't cross over. So you can't post things on your blog right away. You need to make sure that you are pitching stories to editors and that you are working on those print stories and then only posting what doesn't overlap on your blog, because otherwise you're going to do a copyright issue and you're going to piss off the editor, okay? So you need, unless you are going on a trip only to write about it on your blog, it is very important to manage expectations. And so in this itinerary negotiation time, I find this can be one of the best places to manage those expectations about what is going to be published. Okay. Now, what if you don't have things yet set up to write about the trip? When do you start pitching those? Once the itinerary is out and once you have said to them, how firm is this? I'd like to write about this, this, and that. Are they definitely going to be on the final itinerary? That is when you bust your butt to get the stories placed. Now, I so often see people say, and this goes back to what we said at the beginning of the call, like, what if I don't have any experience? Or what if I don't have any published clips? Or what if I don't write for that many places? That doesn't matter. You can still have 10 stories come out of your press trip if you bust your butt and pitch it, okay? And this is why we set up the Travel Magazine database in the first place. Because when I started writing, I would find all sorts of random magazines that people didn't know about. And I would do a story on all of the things in the area from Magazine for Private Pilots that publishes destination guides. There's so many different magazines that you can do destination guides for a little slice of an audience that don't overlap. You can also do profiles on different businesses. You can write about the tea houses in the area for Tea Time magazine. You can write about the gardens in the area for Birds and Blooms. There's so many magazines out there that you can make little slices of your trip go into. And so once you have that itinerary, it's time to work on those things, no matter what you promised in your initial email. Because like I said, PR people like diversity. Okay, so going back to the timeline. Once the itinerary is out, that's typically when they're going to start talking to you about booking flights, if that's included. Okay, I see increasingly fewer trips having flights included these days, although they still often do. And this is the time when we want to talk about having days before or after the main trip on our own. And you shouldn't expect them to cover your accommodation on these days. Sometimes they'll offer, but this is how you make sure you get your stories done. So if you, especially if you have low confidence that they're going to stick to their schedule, like they haven't actually given you the schedule yet, really push, unless you have to, you know, negotiate with your spouse to watch the kids and they also have to travel a lot. Push as hard as you can to have a day or two in the destination after your trip, because this is how you make sure that you get your stories done if the time on the trip does not hew very closely to the published itinerary, if things get cut out, or if you're just too exhausted to do a good job with your reporting on your trip, any of these things. Make sure that you have that day to sweep up all of your in-destination to-dos that didn't get done yet. Or you can also go in advance and try to get the things related to your story done, but I find it better to use, if you go in advance, to use that day to get acclimatized to the destination, maybe to do some research that's going to help you get other stories. But the day at the end is really where you have the time to pick up the things that didn't get done yet. Now, some trips are going to have a call, and I really hate these, but some trips have a conference call with everybody who's going to be on the trip to provide background information about the different places that are going to be featured there. And if they have this, do try to go to it, because I often find that they announce little tiny changes and things in these calls, and then they don't send out the actual itinerary changes until later. So this can be a really good way to know those things are happening, or know if the focus in a certain destination is not what you think it's going to be. Because often when the itinerary does come out, it'll say you're visiting blah, blah, blah place, but it won't say you're visiting this place, you have a tour, an interview, and then time on your own to explore. And one or all three of those might be what you need, but that's not going to be captured on the itinerary. So when the final itinerary comes out, you need to do two things. You need to ask questions like what I just said. Are we going to be touring this place? Because I'm going to be writing a first-person narrative story, and I really would like to have the tour experience so that I can write about that for my audience. So you're checking that what you need to have in order to get your stories is on that itinerary. But then there's a second check that you need to do. And this is super important. And I just want to read a question or sort of a comment that I got before the call that's really relevant to this. So somebody who's been travel writing for a long time said, in general, I hate group press trips with a few notable exceptions with a few notable exceptions have been so exhausted and or ticked off upon exiting one that I was not motivated to write about them. So this is the thing, press trip itineraries, and we've looked at them in some other calls, are often bonkers, like absolutely bonkers. I think last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, we looked at one where we were scheduled to be somewhere every 10 minutes with no travel time in between, and it was just poorly thought out. I have also mentioned a trip that we were on in which we were scheduled to be arriving back from our evening activities at around 2 a.m. and be on the bus the next day at 8 a.m., having checked out, eaten breakfast, showered, and slept to go somewhere else. These things are not uncommon, and they are there for a reason, right? These people are trying to maximize the money that they have invested to get you to this place. So it totally makes sense. And that is their MO. So you need to, as much as possible, manage expectations and push your MO, which is to get a story, which is what they should actually, you know, they should respect as much as possible. So if you see that one day on an itinerary is just undoable, it's crazy, take a look at it and see what you're definitely not going to write about in there. And write a very nice email saying, I just want to let you know this day of the itinerary looks like too much for me to handle. I don't want it to negatively impact my ability to report and research the things that I do need to cover on the trip. I see that there's this portion that will be touring this museum that isn't a good fit for my coverage area. Would it be okay for me to sit that out and work on reviewing my notes and preparing for other parts of the trip? I see people do this quite often, and it's much better if you discuss that in advance than you bail out in the middle of the trip, which I have also seen happen, that people are just like too exhausted and they just need to stay back for some amount of time. It's much better to know yourself and communicate upfront where those things happen, and preferably ask them to change it if possible, but if they can't, they can't. So even if a trip itinerary is crazy, that doesn't mean that you should duck out or not consider it. There's this little loophole, this little exit valve where you can ask to just sit out one part that doesn't apply to you to make sure that you are fresh for the other parts. Okay, so where do we find these trips? The pre-established trips that people are being invited on. Like I said, there's three types of ways. They go out on a one-to-one basis in emails to people. They are posted on sites like MediaKitty, and then travel writing associations. Whoops, so we talked a little last week about these. So IFWTWA is International Food, Wine, and Travel Writers Association. NATJA is North American Travel Journalists Association. SATW is Society of American Travel Writers, and there's some in other markets as well. There's the British Travel Writers Guild, and there's some other ones in Australia, and I can't remember what the ones are in Canada. There's some regional ones as well. There's ones in the Bay Area. There's ones in the Midwest. So MediaKitty is not a travel writers association in that you have to apply and it will give you credentials, but it is a membership site for journalists. And anybody can get on this. So if any of you guys on the call are not already on MediaKitty, make sure you go and sign up, okay? Now, these sites that I've mentioned here at the beginning will have regular listings of press trips that you can apply to. Particularly, IFWTA in its newsletter puts out a very, very healthy number of these. So if you are really interested in going on pre-established trips, MediaKitty and IFWTWA are the two I would really recommend. Other places you can also find press trips mentioned are in various groups in LinkedIn and Facebook. Facebook has ones that are particularly for PR people. Okay, the ones on LinkedIn you have to often dig around to find. So these are more places where people are saying, hey, we're putting together a trip for blah, blah, blah. Do you know somebody who could be a fit? I've gone on press things that I've gotten through LinkedIn. They typically are more one-on-one things. Like they're saying, if there's any journalists who'd like to come experience our new hotel, let us know. But there are group trips there at some times. Now, another place to find these trips is attached to different conferences. Now, TPEX always has them. In my opinion, it's one of the highlights of the conference, though it depends on the destination. All of these associations also have conferences that also have trips, however. So if you join one of these associations, you'll not only see listings for trips, but when you go to their association conference, you also have the option to go on pre and post, often both, trips as well. Also, Travel in Words is another conference that's about travel writing. Unlike TBEX, it's more about print travel writing, and that also has trips after the event. The International Food Bloggers Conference has also started adding tours, but they're more single-day tours, and also the Women in Travel Conference has a couple, but they're, again, they're shorter tours. But for a proper multi-day press trip, these are really the places to look, guys, okay? Now, if you want to get trips to come to you, there's three main ways. So I very rarely touch my personal individual writer site, so I don't have a ton of my clips on there, but I do have something up there that I wrote for Dallas Morning News and maybe some things I've written for USA Today. And I get people all the time coming to me because of that one clip. And like these clips are old and people still come to me about them. So if you get one high profile household name brand clip and you put it on your website, the PR people are looking for these and they will find you that way. But the other thing is that you can also work on your SEO. Okay, like we're often Googling for travel writers for various reasons ourselves within Dream of Travel Writing. And I can tell you the people who come up on the first few pages, I see them on the first few pages of every single result that has to do with travel writers. Like we have a lot of different search queries that we use. And it's not even the best sites. It's not all the ones that have the greatest, most, you know, up-to-date bells and whistles. They're often ones that look like they were put up in 1999, and in many cases they were. And they don't have 5,000 clips. Like I said, I don't have a ton of clips on my website, but they are optimized for certain keywords. So if you write about travel and you live in Utah, you want to make sure that your website is optimized for that. Unless you live in Utah and write about travel, but you write about travel in Italy, and then you want to have your website optimized as travel writer Italy, okay? You know, Italian travel writer about Italy. You want to think about these things because this is how those people, like I said, that are sending out the majority of press trip invites via email to people that they have identified, that's how they're going to find you. Now, The third one is probably the easiest of the things on here. Okay, networking with PR people and CVBs. Now, we talked, I think it was last week, about how you can just walk right in to the office of the tourism board and walk around and introduce yourself and get to know them that way. So if you are in a destination, you know, just for a weekend with your spouse, or they wouldn't be in the office on the weekend, but if you're there for a different reason, you can network and set it up yourself. You don't need to be going to conferences. You don't need to be going to networking events for this to happen. But the other thing that you can do without going in person is that you can look at the place that you want to go, and you can look at some of the hotels in the area or the tourism board or some restaurants in the area, and you put those names into Google along with PR and see which PR firms cover those places. And then you write the PR firm and you say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I write about this. I'm going to be going to the area in the near future. Can you put me on the list for any press opportunities in that destination? And they will, okay? They might ask you some questions, but they'll usually at least put you on the list. So that's how you find out about these trips that are not publicized, okay? All right, so let's look at some real press trip invitations. So like I said, you need to sort of do a little show of hands over in the chat box about which of these invitations interest you. First, I'm just gonna go through the three different categories and the three different ones that I have for each one, and then you let me know which ones we should workshop, okay? All right, so the first three are all from Media Kitty, and these are actually the same ones that I put out in the newsletter and on our blog today, so you might have already seen some of these. The trip invitations that we get that we're not able to go on. So this one is in Puerto Rico, and it's a hotel trip, and the hotel was recently renovated. Here's another one. This is a culinary trip in Colorado. It's a multi-day trip focused on celebrity chefs. The next one, and this one is a little bit hard to read. I hope if you're on your laptop, you can read it though. This was a really interesting long one that I got via email. She said there's one more slot left. And I'm like, great, you're saying that you're reaching out to me because you need a spot to fill. And because people on your original trip didn't go, that makes me super likely to go. But this likewise is a very hotel-oriented trip. It's around the Marriott collection. Okay, now here are some trips that are from conferences. So we've got one which is connected to the Travel in Words trip that's coming up soon in Oregon. We've got, the first one is from the NATJA, the North American Travel Journalists Association. The next one is from the Travel in Words trip in Oregon. Now Media Kitty ones. So these are the ones that I sent out in the blog today. We've got one in Montreal on the occasion of the 375th anniversary. We've got one that's a hotel-specific trip for a single hotel, not a hotel chain, and it also incorporates a rodeo and livestock show. And then we've got one for Walk Japan, and they don't say if they include flights on here, which I think is very interesting because they're reaching out to North American people to go to Japan. So chime in the questions portion of the GoToWebinar box, your votes for which ones you would like me to go through. And I'm going to start going through one that somebody has mentioned now while you guys are doing that. Okay, so this Walk Japan, great. Okay, so keep chiming in. Oh, great, there's lots of chiming now. Okay, great. So keep chiming in while I go through this Walk Japan, and then I'll come back and look again afterwards. Okay, so I have to minimize the GoToWebinar thing. So for this trip, I just found this today on Media Kitty, and I think it's actually like live right now. Like they're still accepting people. So this is a great one to go through, and I'm glad you guys are interested in this. So let's look at some important little pieces here that jump out to me. So they keep saying qualified, and then they say what qualified writers are. So I've worked with the Japanese government in the past to set up trips, and I know some things about Japan because I worked with the MIT Japan program. They're very sort of box checking, but they also have no idea how it works here. So the fact that they say they want qualified US journalists and then they say what that means is really interesting because they clearly are, the person organizing this trip, Walk Japan, has talked to somebody about what kind of coverage they want, and they have set up this specific thing. So if you don't fall into what they have declared as qualified, there's no point in even writing to them, okay? There's no amount of talking them into or cajoling that's going to work here. They're really clear about what they want, all right? So then let's look a little more at the trip, and then I'm going to look at this paragraph on qualified writers where they talk about what they want. Oh, and it does say that they have airfare. Great. Okay, So they say they want US journalists with targeted outlets for their upcoming trips. They want healthy, active journalists, high distribution in cities, or national distribution. So this is interesting, right? Because they're saying they want high circulation, but it doesn't necessarily have to be national magazines. So this is great because this means that you could be doing like a Minneapolis St. Paul magazine or a Midwest Living magazine or a Los Angeles magazine or a 5280 Denver magazine. This doesn't mean that you need to be fighting off the hordes to be getting a clip in Travel and Leisure. Okay, you can go to places that are much, much easier. Okay, so they have an active international traveler in mind, 35 plus, and they are going to be looking, like I said, at direct flight to Japan cities. So how do you figure this out, right? Like there's all sorts of airlines that might have direct flights to Japan. So what I would do in this case is I would go on Kayak, that's my favorite search engine, and I would search what, right? How do you make sure like it's a certain cities? So whatever city magazine you're thinking about doing or regional magazine, I would put that city in and put Tokyo, all the flights go to Tokyo. I would search on Kayak and I would click nonstop only. All right. So this is if you have a specific city in mind, but what if you don't? Then I would go and I would open up United, American, Delta, ANA, which is one of the two big Japanese airlines, and JAL, which is the other Japanese airline. These are the four main airlines that are going to be flying direct routes. Okay. I would open up all five of those websites. I would go to their route maps and then I would click Tokyo and then see what little, little arrows they have that go to other cities. Those are the cities that they're going to care about. All right. Then I would take those cities and I would see what the high circulation magazines are and I would see who would potentially cover a trip like this. Who's going to do a first person article? Who's going to do a roundup? Who would even potentially take a story about this kind of trip? All right. Then I'm going to look in here again. So they say with their targeted outlets on upcoming press trips, assignments, stories will represent high circulation, high-end outlets with reliable syndication. Preference is given to those with confirmed assignments for airline magazines or large daily papers or magazines. Okay. So they're saying preference is given for confirmed assignments, but they're not saying they will only take you for confirmed assignments. So what I would do to apply on this trip is that I would make my little list of the regional magazines and newspapers, and then the airline magazines and newspaper or the airline magazines. Like I said, go through and figure out which ones would actually take this story, and then that's going to be my hit list. And I'm going to write to them and I'm going to say, "Hi, I'm so and so. I personally have experience with Japan." So I'm going to say like, "I have covered Japan in various ways and forms for 10 years. I noticed that you have this trip up. I don't currently have an assignment connected with this story because I can't get a confirmed assignment until I am confirmed on this trip. But I would be looking to pitch stories on this trip too, and then I would put in my list of places, okay?" So we've talked in the past about the confirmed story conundrum, right? That they want you to have a confirmed story. How can you get a confirmed story? Because before you get on this trip, you look for things like this that don't require a confirmed story, and you give them the list of places that you're thinking about pitching. And next week, we're going to spend more time putting together in detail this portfolio of different places you're going to pitch. But I did want, how to do it for this trip. And so I'm going to send them my list of the places that I'm thinking about pitching. And then they say send pitches, queries, and links to clips. Now, I don't know what pitches and queries mean. So what I might do is send that email, as I said, and then at the bottom put some links to other places that I've written about Japan, and then say you also requested pitches and queries. I'm not quite sure what you were looking for in that way. Please let me know what else I can send you to help facilitate getting me set up on this trip. So that's how I would apply to this trip. Okay, let me look at some other ones. Japan wants high-end, high circulation. What if you're just getting started? Jill asks. It doesn't matter if you're just getting started. Somebody in the Pitchapalooza class who also came to the IdeaFest workshop doesn't have travel clips, and she's working with Delta on a piece. It doesn't matter if you're just getting started. You can still get these placements. And the other thing, like I said, is that they say they want high-end, high circulation, but they also say that they want regional, right? So regional high-end, high circulation is very different than, travel and leisure. Okay, somebody wants hotel trips. Hotel trips San Antonio, Colorado, Media Kitty, Japan. Okay, so I'm gonna go do one of the hotel trips, okay? Let's see. There's this one. This is Montreal. Let me look. Okay, let's do this one, which I know is a little hard to read, but it's got more information. Okay, so I've got to close the chat box again to do this. So if you have questions, I'll see a little blinking thing. So feel free to ask questions. So she's reaching out on behalf of the Marriott Convention and Resort Network, and they were doing a press trip in Hawaii to preview four of the hotels located on different islands to give media a firsthand experience of how those hotels execute and facilitate meetings. Now, let me just give a caveat. I do and have done for many years a lot of stories on for meeting magazines on destinations specifically for meeting travelers and group meetings and things like that. So that's why I have this meeting-oriented one, okay? Now, she said we have one slot left. Please let us know as soon as possible if you're interested in joining. And so she has said assigning someone to join the trip on behalf of the media, the meetings outlets you contribute to. So this automatically signals that they're looking for exposure, okay? They're not looking necessarily for a specific story to come out of this. This is really a straight fam, as in a familiarization trip. So this is something where they just want to get in with somebody who writes regularly for meetings outlets and show us something, okay? So then she's got a list, okay? She lists the different things. She's got team building activities on surfboards or paddleboards, so this is very active. Then she's got a brand new spa. Then we've got the resort has a recently opened restaurant, and she's saying that there's different types of events that they can do. She's also talking about technology for a digital scavenger hunt. She's talking about a beachside juice bar. She's talking about fitness activities. She's talking again about visiting local farms and markets with the chef from the hotel. She's talking about taking your meetings outside. And then it's gotten cut off here on the bottom, but there's one about doing coffee tasting, so Kauai coffee. So, like I said, in this context, she's invited me because I already have a meetings magazine background. But let's pretend I forwarded this invitation to one of you to say, hey, I can't go on this trip, but would you be interested? All right. So, what I would do in this case is I would look over and see what are the themes here. So, she's got this board meetings things about activities on paddleboard surfing. She's got a lot that are about activities that people can take while they are having a meeting or while they are doing a corporate event. Okay, so there's a lot of outdoor stuff. You know, there's also food stuff. There's either food classes or there's the coffee tasting or there's visiting local farms and markets. So then what I'm going to do as somebody who's not already writing for all these meeting magazines but who wants to go on this trip, I'm going to say, okay, I need to find a magazine or multiple magazines that would be interested in a story about active meetings like outside or food-focused meetings. And then I'm going to go online, and there's only so many meetings magazines, and I'm going to say, okay, who has covered active meetings or food-centric meetings already but hasn't covered Hawaii? And I'm going to say, like, what are the big meeting magazines? I'm going to get those names. Then I'm going to go into Google and I'm going to put the name or the website specifically of each of those magazines, and I'm going to search Hawaii and I'm going to see what they've covered for Hawaii, and I'm going to search active meetings and I'm going to see what they've covered for active meetings. And then I'm going to look for where is the hole? Who is interested in food-centric meetings or active meetings that hasn't yet covered Hawaii? And then I'm going to say, great, put together my thing. I'm going to say, hi, I'm a writer, you know, based in blah, blah, blah. I often cover active vacations and food trips. I would be looking at pitching this story to this, and this meeting magazine. You know, this about this hotel's thing, and this about this hotel's, and this about this hotel thing. Would that be of interest to you for this press trip? So that's how I would angle the pitch for this particular one. Let's see. We're right at 4:30, so I'm gonna just do one more very quick one, this other short hotel one, if I can find it, and then I'm gonna get through the rest of the slides. But if you have to go, you can catch the rest in the replay. Okay, so let's look quickly at the St. Anthony Hotel. This is one that has passed. It was in February of this year, but this was also from Media Kitty, okay? And so this is what often comes when I get hotel trip invitations. It's very, very brief, and it's very unclear what they're covering. So this is why I want to look at this quickly. So she's given me a bit about the hotel. She says they have a press trip, press fam trip, around the festival, which is the rodeo and the livestock show. And the hotel is one of the main sponsors. And they'll also have other activities during the weekend, but they won't let us know until later. So what does that mean? That means that there's different people paying for this trip. We're not 100% sure who all of those people are. I assume the rodeo and livestock show has thrown in some money and the hotel has thrown in some money. And then I would go check who this PR person represents. And does she represent the CVB, or does she represent only the hotel, or does she represent some of these other parties as well? So then I'm going to say, okay, so whose back needs to be scratched here, right? For her, it's the hotel, but she also clearly is trying to get some other people in on this. So you can write her and say, what other activities do you think will be on the trip? And hopefully she'll get back to you, but she might not. But then what you can do is you can go to this hotel's website and you can see what other activities they recommend in the area. You can see where it's located. She says it's historical. So you can look into the history of San Antonio and how you can pitch a story that fits the hotel into that history, even if it isn't just about the hotel. And then you take that little list of story ideas, and then you go into the travel magazine database, or you go into Google and start searching who would be interested in that story. And then you put together your little list of the places that you're going to pitch. You write her and say, I understand that the press trip itinerary isn't 100% confirmed. Thus, I can't be getting 100% confirmed assignments for these things, but I'm interested in this trip. And these are the pitches that I would look at placing for this itinerary. Okay. All right. So let's look very quickly at what to have and what not to have in your pitch. So you'll notice the very first thing I have here is brevity. And like I said, that is for a reason, because there's a huge, huge impulse that I see in people either writing straight pitches or writing pitches to go on press trips to include a lot of other information that's not relevant to the person reviewing this thing to get you on the trip. And you need to cut that out because it does two things. First of all, it clouds the sharpness of purpose of what you really need to tell them to get on that trip. But secondly, it also makes you look unprofessional and makes them less likely to want you on that trip. And that's actually even more important. Now, the other thing is I don't see so many of these outlining in a very clear, skimmable form like bullet points exactly what they're looking at placing, especially people who have blogs tend to put a lot about what their blog audience is and their readers like this and their readers like that. But the PR person doesn't really need to know that much. Like if you have a food blog that also covers travel in the southeastern US, that's all they need to know about it, along with your numbers. Okay, so those are the two things. But like I said, if you're pitching for publication, you don't need to be putting the numbers in there, but it might help to just put it in there up front if it's a place they hadn't heard of. Then you need to make sure that there's a clear indication of whether you already have an assignment, which like I said, is hard/you shouldn't if you're not on the trip yet, versus if you're going to be pitching. And we talked about the right way to couch that if you're pitching something. And I gave you some scripts for how to do that. But another thing that you can do is you can say that you regularly contribute somewhere and thus are likely to be able to place the story. And that's very valuable, okay, to say that you regularly contribute to publications on X, Y, and Z. Then, like I said, you want to give them a very clear plan of what types of stories. And this is really important so that as they're putting together the itinerary, they don't axe anything that you need to get your stories done. And then this is like the real kicker that people don't put. And if you put it, you are absolutely out of the maybe and into the yes category. You want to mention, in the past, I went on a trip to blah, 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 and make it as similar to this one as you can. And here are some examples of the coverage that came out of that trip. So you're not just giving them some of your clips to look at, but you're saying, this is the type of story I produce from a press trip. That to them is gold. It really helps paint a picture for them of what you're going to do with your trip. So if you haven't been on trips before, obviously you're not going to have that in there. But if you have, whether it was for your blog or publications, make sure you have that in there. Now, when you're writing that little letter, that little email, and again, I emphasize little, you want to check as many boxes as you can. That you are a good topical match for this trip. And sometimes that topic can also mean destination. So for instance, in the case of Japan, I was saying, you know, I have a background in Japan, and I would put that in there to help them see that I can get a lot out of this trip because I already have a grounding in the subject matter, in the history and geography of the place. You're gonna put your track record of previous coverage. So this might be, I contribute regularly to blah, blah, blah. my past work has been published in blah, blah, blah. I run a blog with this readership, blah, blah, blah. So this is where you show them that you are professional. And, you know, I'm sure people are going to say, oh, well, what if I don't have this? What if I don't have that? You really are just using this paragraph or this sentence to show them that you are not an amateur, that you have editorial experience. And if you don't say that you don't. Just don't put the pitch each piece of that trip based on some itineraries. Then I'm going to do another one of these sort of open calls. So answers to your most common pitching questions. So send me stuff in advance. I'll try to unmute people during the call. And we're going to talk about some of the most frequently asked questions that people have about pitching. And I want to work with you guys on questions that you have. And then the next week, we're going to talk about how to use the Travel Magazine database to put together perfect pitches. I've been getting a lot of questions from folks about, you know, how to write this section or that section of their pitch. And a lot of people have recently joined the database, or they've gotten the database through an event that they signed up for, or at the Women in Travel Summit, we're going to be giving out vouchers for a free month of the database. So if you don't already have it, then let me know and we can set you up with a trial so that you can try it out around this webinar. And if you do already have it and you feel like you're not using it, this is a great way to see how exactly to take the information from the database and plug it into your pitching. And then we had some really, really, really lovely events. And thank you for all of you who joined us this weekend and last week in Boston. It was really such a pleasure both to meet you guys and to work in this new masterclass format about specifically how to grow your income. So we're going to bring the masterclass to Chicago and to London later this month. And then our next retreat at the Retreat Center in the Catskills coming up is going to be this summer, when it's going to be really beautiful there and the farm is going to be going and there'll be lots of fresh tomatoes and everything. And that's going to be Pitchapalooza, and we're going to open up the regular, we already had the early bird registration, but we'll open up the regular registration for that soon. So thank you so much for joining me and staying long, even though I went a little bit over. And if you have any questions, or if you want to start sending me some questions for the pitching common question call in a couple weeks, send those to questions at Dream of Travel Writing. And I'll stick around and answer some more questions from the chat box that I didn't get through. But if you have to go, I totally understand. And thank you so much for joining us. Okay, so I've got a big long list of questions from Lenora, and I'm going to start to just go through them one by one. So what if it takes 2 years after your press trip to send the links to the publication person, to the PR person? Like, what if things don't come out, or you just haven't gotten around to writing them? Actually, PR people, like, some of them really push you to send the links to them, and some of them don't. Some of them just expect that it'll go up or it won't go up. I definitely wouldn't worry about it being 2 years until you post something, and I would still send the links to the person in that case. But what about if the PR person that you worked with on a trip is no longer with the company? Then I would send it to the person who's handling that account now, or somebody directly at the destination. What do you do if you are on a trip where the host lacks experience/common sense and is overcommitted and ends up dragging you from pillar to post for 2 days? So I talked about a couple examples of this. And, you know, it's great when you can ask in advance, you know, can we do fewer things on this day? Or can we make some decisions so that we actually get to visit places on this afternoon instead of just rushing through? But what do you do when it's crazy on the trip? So in this case, I usually try to, if not rally the troops, so to say, then to at least kind of go around the crazy PR person to the person above them and explain that there is an issue here and that we're not getting as much out of this trip as we have been brought to do. So there's two things you can do. If you're on the trip and it's crazy, talk to some other people on the trip, everybody else on the trip if you can, like get everybody together and have people chime in. Well, I really need to see this. I really need to see this. I really need to see this. And then you look at the schedule for the next day and you collectively decide what to cut. And then you go to the PR person with that cut and you say, look, we all talked about this and we're not able to get good stories right now. So tomorrow we need to take this thing out in order to spend more time with the places we do need to be, which are X, Y, and Z. If the person is just intractable, thinks that they're doing fine, doesn't understand what the problem is, then you go back and look at who else has been CC'd on the emails about the trip and find people above them. So it might be that you're being shepherded around by a PR person, but the Convention and Visitors Bureau has also been looped in. Then you go to them and I typically would send these emails like in the evening so that hopefully they'll get it and they can work on a solution before the next day. And I explain the situation and I explain, you know, that it's not just me. I've talked to other people on the trip and we really need, you know, this to be handled better in order to get more and better coverage. And you always want to circle back to the quality of the coverage because that's really what you're there for. And I say, like, could you have somebody from your office join us and help to manage our stop so that we can stay on our timetable or something like that? All right, here's another one. I used to get a pretty continuous stream of unsolicited invitations to press trips, but the flow has changed in the last couple of years. One factor, I believe, is the presence of so many people basing their business models on free and sponsored travel perks in exchange for mediocre coverage. Are you seeing the same trend? I usually pay for my own travel now so that I can follow my own drummer, but how can we get back to going on these press trips? So I think, like I said, that this is that I do get a lot of invitations, and I always have, but I also think that this is a good point, that there are fewer invitations these days in a way. And the ones that I do get definitely seem to be coming closer to the times when the trips are departing. And I think this circles back to what I was saying earlier, that I think a lot of people are going on more individual trips than group trips. And so I think in a way that's a good thing, but it also has something to do with the fact that, like I said, there's separate troops for bloggers now. There's separate trips for people who are tweeting and posting to Instagram and posting on Facebook rather than people that are writing as journalists. And you can get invited on both, but they sort of are handled separately. So for instance, if you want to get on trips as a blogger, you can go on Blogger Bridge. There's a lot of trips listed for bloggers there, and they're very clear about what they're looking for. The Professional Bloggers Association also handles some, and you'll see them attached to conferences like TBEX. But the fact of the matter is that the main thing that I see is more trips these days have become familiarization trips rather than clear press trips with an assignment attached, which is great for people like, I believe it was Lisa or somebody or April mentioning earlier, if you don't have clips and you're just starting out, if you can really show them a clear pitching plan and approach them like a professional, it's much easier to get on the trips that do exist now simply because a lot of people have switched to taking individual trips. So I know that might have not been a complete answer to your question, but I hope that that sort of answered it. Okay, so I don't see any more questions, so I'll stay on for a couple more minutes. But otherwise, thank you guys so much for joining us today.